Our text this morning is taken from the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 26. The Acts of the Apostles and chapter 26. And we read two verses here, verses 22 and 23. The Apostle Paul is speaking. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 26, verses 22 and 23. Just a word concerning the historical background here. After the Jews attacked Paul at Jerusalem, the apostle was taken into Roman custody. And because of threats upon his life from the Jewish community, he was taken by escort to Caesarea. There he appeared before Felix, the procurator or governor, and then before Festus, Felix's successor, and finally before the King Herod Agrippa, the king chosen by the Romans and imposed upon them there. And Paul made his defense. Now, to this King Herod, he recounts earlier in the chapter 26, what happened to him on the Damascus Road, the event which led to his conversion. And he also spoke to King Herod about Christ's commission to him to be a preacher, and his response to that commission, in that he went forth preaching Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our text, because he then says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. Now, it occurred to me earlier this week that that is a very good verse for the end of a year and for the beginning of a new year. Having therefore obtained help of God in the past year, I continue into the year to come, witnessing both to small and to great. And it leads me this morning to speak of three things alluded to in the text. The first is assistance, having therefore obtained help of God. The second is service, I continue unto this day. And the third is hope. He is witnessing to Jews and Gentiles alike concerning Christ, who is light, verse 23, unto the people, that is of Israel, and to the Gentiles. So God is assisting him. He is involved in the service of God, and he's bringing to men and women the light of God's promise, which is the light of hope. So let's consider those three things. The first is assistance, having therefore obtained help of God. Now the word help here in the Greek, epikuria, occurs only here in the New Testament. And it comes from a verb which means to be an ally. And so the word before us comes to mean the aid or the assistance which arises from an alliance. The assistance of God, who is allied to us and who is committed to our well-being. We notice that Paul is acknowledging here the many trials of the Christian life. Why else would he need help if he had not been burdened and troubled and pressed sore? And we cannot conceal these things, nor do we wish to, that our lives do know great difficulties sometimes and great discouragements. I'm sure individually we can look back at the last year and we can look back at sad events when we were pressed beyond our natural resources. We wonder now how we coped. The answer is, help was given. Help was given from God, and it was all sufficient and all prevailing, and that's why we're here this morning. So the Christian life is full of trials. And Paul takes no credit for the fact that he's got through, that he's overcome. There's not even the hint here that I do have natural strength and I'm able to take what others can't take. And I have a persevering, overcoming spirit. Not a hint of that. The fact that he survived, he attributes to the God of grace and mercy, having obtained help of God, he says. God has been faithful to him in every changing scene. And when he's been at a loss how he could remain or how he could proceed, God has come in with strength. And the secret of his persevering life is in God. The secret of his continuance is God. The secret of his victory is God, having obtained help of God. Now let me open that a little under this heading of assistance. In every affliction, in every weakness we have, in every failure we encounter, God is there for us. When in affliction, he's there for us, saying, "My grace is sufficient for thee." When we are overcome with our own weakness, he is there for us, saying, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." When we are defeated and when we are laid down, he is there for us, though we fall into darkness, 6 times yea, 7, enabling us to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. When I fall, I shall arise again. Which tells us that in every experience of life, even those that are unpleasant and adverse, God is at hand. He is a present help. He's like a friend who doesn't have to be called from a distance, but that friend has anticipated our need and our grief, and he's already there. He is at hand. The Lord, the apostle says, is at hand. Another says, he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. It is a great comfort to know that our helper is already with us. And then again, he's there not as a stranger, he's there not as someone who doesn't feel for us in our difficulties. He is there with all the sympathy of his heart. In our afflictions, he's afflicted. We read in the 103rd Psalm that as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He has a heart for us when we weep. He has a heart for us when our spirit is overburdened. He has a heart for us when the gloom descends and we are ready to give up. The sympathy of God is one great source of consolation. Even if the whole world doesn't understand, even if the whole world misrepresents our case, he knows and he cares. And he's on our part. He listens to our cries, even when we cannot express them in the spoken language of prayer. He listens to the sighs of our hearts, the pain we feel within. I, the Lord thy God, he says, will hear thee. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. He takes account of all our circumstance and our condition. As he said to Moses, I know Israel's sorrows, so he says to us, I know what you're going through, I know just how you feel. And standing there beside us, he thinks, what is the best thing to do? He thinks how to deliver us from our plight. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give thee an end and an expectation. The help of God. The help must come from him. He would always have it so. And why? Because the glory of our endurance belongs to Him, not to ourselves. Hence the apostle, speaking of his own activities, says, "Not I, but the grace of God." And we must be kept humble, because we are but as the grass, and our glory is the flower of the grass. And God would have us always remember our frailty and our feebleness. So He must have the glory of our perseverance, and we must have the dependence upon Him in all humility. And it's this relationship between the helper and the helped that endears God's heart to us and our hearts to Him. It's that that constitutes the friendship that we have. And it's from that friendship that assistance proceeds. We are like Abraham, the friends of God, and God is always ready and willing and able to help his friends. Help from God. I'm very relieved to hear that there is such help, which is divine in its origin. Because if it was the help of man, the scripture says, "Trust not in man, neither in the Son of Man, in whom there is no hope." But it constantly says to us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And where lies the difference? God, our helper, is almighty. Once have I heard this, yea, twice, that power, the God, longs unto God. And we read, not only power, but mercy also belongs to Him. And those twin attributes are what I need in an extremity. I need the power of someone who is prepared to be merciful. And that is the assistance I have in God. But what relief is there to know that God is powerful merely? No relief. Unless we can also be persuaded that this power is engaged in some way for us. And it is, because He deigns to call Himself the Lord our God. And that means He puts everything that He is and has and can do at our disposal for our advantage. He is a covenant God. He's bound to us in the cords of everlasting love and says, "I will be thy God, and thou shalt be my son and my daughter." What a wonderful thing is this, that God, all transcendent, above all other beings, can lend his hand to me, the most insignificant creature on the face of the earth, feeble by reason of humanity, corrupt by reason of sinfulness. And yet he stretches out his hand and says to me in those words of the prophet Isaiah, "I will hold thy hand, I will help thee." And when he says this, that is no empty promise, but it is a commitment from the Lord. That he will not allow us to fail utterly or to fall hopelessly, but he'll give us the love of his heart and the strength of his arm. And therefore, whatever may have overtaken us, he will be near us. He will uphold us. He will keep us. He will never let us go. He will undoubtedly see us through. He will be our guide unto death. Having obtained help of God. This means that he can do everything that we need. He can act powerfully and effectively when we are in a strife and in an extremity. When he sees that our power is gone, then he will appear for us. Multiplied may be our fears, but he delivers us out of our fears. Life may be getting far too much for us, and we cannot sustain the burden of it any longer, but he undertakes for us and performs everything for us. He makes our way through the things which seem to defy us and threaten us with ill. He has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And though we are up against tremendous opposition, he delivers us from every evil work and will preserve us unto his everlasting kingdom, having obtained help of God. It is not only that there is help in God, but there is help from God, having obtained it. Paul is himself the great example here. He is the proof of these words. He has come through the fury of a Jewish mob. He has emerged from the vileness of a Roman prison. He has withstood the accusation of trial after trial because he has obtained help of God. Now, before I leave this first point, let me say, how does God actually help us? Many and various other ways he can employ and adopt. But allow me to mention these. First of all, he can visit us. When our strength is almost gone, when our hope is nigh faded. Psalm 12 has him saying, I will arise. And he can raise himself from his throne and, as it were, come down to where his servant suffers. and to where the crisis is being experienced. Jesus said, I will come to thee. The visits of God. An old chapel goer once said that to me before I preached, quite threw me for a moment. He said, Brother, what do you know of the visitations of God? The answer to that is not enough. But by grace, all of us can say, but it's not unknown in my experience that God has come to me in the hour that I needed him most. He visits us. He sometimes brings us a word from Scripture, so relevant, so apposite. Do we not read in Romans 15 of the patience and comfort of the Scriptures? Did he not speak to Paul when he was at Corinth and fearful of his life? Fear not, Paul. I am with thee. A word. Enough. He can give us a spiritual reviving to revive the spirit of the contrite and the heart of the humble ones. He can quicken us so that one moment we are all depressed and dying spiritually, and the next minute the Spirit of God has awakened faith and hope, and we're back into walking with God. The Spirit ministers to us, imparting strength to us, raising us up to abide, even though we're on the verge of failing, to press on even when we want in our weakest moment to go back. To walk the way, even though the pressure's on us to turn aside. That spiritual ministry is a manifestation of the divine help. He can raise our faith and our expectation. He is the God of hope, and he fills us with hope. And so we're not depressed and feeling disconsolate, feeling that only failure and blackness lies before us, but we hope in God that we shall yet praise him who is the health of our countenance and our God. And sometimes there's just a token that he grants to us after Psalm 86, a token for good. Some little benefit that comes our way, which assures us that he hasn't forgotten us, nor ever will. Having obtained help of God. Assistance, it's yours and it's mine, if we are his people. The trouble with us is we look into the coming year, say, and we can only see ourselves. And we think, how am I going to deal with the new challenges of this year on my own? But there is the lie. In the shadows, stands our helper. We are not alone. The Father is with us. And we shall not fail because He cannot fail. And every step upon that rugged road, He'll walk with us. And should we find it too much, then He'll give us His supporting arm. And should we fall, He will raise us in His love. There is lifting up. Assistance. The second word here is service. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Now the word continue here, literally translated, is I stand. I have suffered much, but I'm still alive. And the force of the verb here is I am maintaining my ground. I stand unto this day. The Authorized Version is a perfectly good translation, because if we're standing, we are continuing. We're holding the ground that God has appointed for us. He's still a servant of God. And he is still determined to serve God. Come what may, he's standing, not falling, and certainly not lying. He's standing. Friends, that's where we must be at the beginning of another year, standing. Holding the same ground as we held last year. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Standing still. Carrying on. Buffeted. Shaken. Grieved, but holding the ground. I continue unto this day. Continue in what? Or standing in what? Continuing in the faith, though tempted to distrust God and cease to rely upon his promise. I'll never succumb to that. I remain in the faith of God's elect. I stand in the truth. Novelties may abound, innovations are all over the place today. People presenting another gospel, another emphasis, another mode of worship. We're standing in the truth of the eternal gospel, of the word of God which does not change. That's where we are. That's where we'll be next December, by God's grace. Continuing unto this day. Standing in the profession of faith, holding our profession, that though we feel ourselves sometimes to be the weakest of Christians, we are Christians. And we hold that fast. However attacked, however assailed, we will not deny him. We confess one God our Father, one Lord Jesus Christ, one indwelling Spirit. We stand in prayer, knowing that all grace proceeds from another, even from the other. We daily cast ourselves upon him, that we might step out forthrightly and courageously into whatever God has planned for us. And standing in the holiness of God, seeking to be holy, to apply the whole word of God to our hearts and to our lives. That's where we're standing, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It wouldn't do to fall. It wouldn't do to fall, because if we fell away from God, away from the faith, away from the church, then we would lose everything that is precious. If we fell, we would not only be the biggest loser, but we would mar our usefulness. All the people to whom we've witnessed it, and the people to whom we've spoken concerning Christ, they would see that in the hour most desperate, it doesn't work. And it doesn't keep, and we would do more harm in a moment's failure than we have done good in a lifetime of Christian work. If we fell, we would lose so much. We would mar our usefulness. We would offend our God, grieve the Spirit, pain the Savior. Alienate him. If we fell, we would forfeit our joy. For there's no joy at a distance from God. And if our joy is lost, we would forsake assurance. For what assurance can there be to someone who is prepared to lie defeated? But says Paul, I continue. I continue because of God's sovereign purpose that I shall proceed to the end. Yes, I to the end shall endure. As sure as the earnest is given, more happy but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. I shall continue not only because God has willed it, but Christ has secured it. By his redeeming blood, he's bought me, and therefore I can't be lost in the mud of defeat. I am his purchased possession. I continue because the Holy Spirit indwells me, poor Christian as I am. Miserable specimen of Christianity as I am. He shall be with you, said Christ of that spirit, and shall be in you. And it's the Spirit who revives and restores me when I'm as good as dead. And I shall continue, because there is a power that worketh in me greater than the power that works in this world. I shall continue because my Saviour on high is interceding for me, never more so than when I stumble and falter. He ever lives to make intercession for us, so that when I look as if I am about to abandon all and suffer ignominious defeat, he increases his prayer. Father, help that man. He's one of mine. And the Father sends help from heaven. And I continue. I continue because the promise of God is at stake. That I will be kept by his power unto salvation. That he is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. And because of the multitudinous promises of God's word, all of which say that I won't give up, I won't fall down, I won't go back, I can never be a pliable. I will ever be a Christian. And I continue in the service of my God. There may be 1,001 things to threaten that. Satan may hurl at us all his opposition, every discouragement that life can afford, every attack that can be made upon me and upon you, but he shall not prevail. Because with the help of God, like Paul, we shall continue. Did you hear that, Satan? You would do best to give up now. For God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And the final word here, assistance, service, hope. Paul effectively says here, because he's helped, because he works for the Lord, he's able to witness of Jesus Christ to the people and to the Gentiles, so that they have light. And the light here includes the idea of hope. Darkness is depression, perhaps despair. Light is prospect and expectation. The people all around us are in darkness because they know not God and they have not Christ. And they believe not the gospel, but here in me they must see a man who is helped of God, who serves the Lord still, and is witnessing to great and to small. concerning the hope of the human heart, Jesus Christ. That's what the world sees. A man who's helped of his God, who is continuing in Christian service, and therefore provides an inspiration to unbelievers and a light to this dark world. And that light seems to say to one and all, see what the gospel can do. It can bring you the help of God. It can keep you in the service of God. And it can increase in you the hope of God. Which hope, you unbelievers may also share. It's the light of the people and the light of the Gentiles. But God, give us help this morning. Maintain us in his service and make us the brightest light in our road, in our neighborhood, in our city, that we may show them the reality of vital Christianity, a light in a dark world. Amen.